went up north for a little rest, and we stopped at a grocery store, and they had all the lines down, and they said, you have to take a grocery cart or you're not allowed in. So we had a grocery cart each, and I went down a one-way street, and I forgot something. So I leave my cart. I go back up against the grain. I was going up a one-way street in the grocery store, and I got busted. And so they said, I'm sorry, you got to leave the store. I said, what? You're out of here. And I got kicked out of the store. And I remember my thoughts were, I'm glad my church family can't see me now. And I know what Elizabeth was thinking, even though she didn't say it. She said, I can't take him anywhere. Amen. And that was a huge crisis that just happened to us. But, you know, I'm kind of glad I got to live through that. It was something that up till then I only saw on TV and some kind of sci-fi movie, and where everything would come to a stop like that. And yet we had that actually happen. Hallelujah. What's going to happen in 2025? Did the Lord tell anyone yet? Praise God. Amen. We got that to look forward to, I suppose. And so, you know, what happened is our scientists, you know, they got busy. They got busy. They were going to save us. They were going to get a vaccine and inoculate us all and save us. And in the world, they were so upset, they went and brought toilet paper. And that was their big move. And until the stores were sold out. You never know how they're going to react. And but as things get down the road a little ways, you begin to realize that it wasn't a vaccine we need. It was getting right with Jesus Christ is what the world needs. And it looks like we've had a backdoor revival. You know what a backdoor revival is? Is then when your crowd shrinks down to less than what it was. And there were several different reasons, not just one reason for that. You know, some of our seniors had to go into a home, and you know, they locked down the homes and they weren't allowed out, and we lost a few. They perished through that time, and there was all kinds of things going on. But the church as a whole has shrunk and down, but God hasn't shrunk down, and God is still working in us. Hallelujah. And he's going to have his way. Hallelujah. He's going to have his way. And I love those one-way streets, though, that were in Walmart. And didn't you hate it when you went to Costco and there's 15 carts lined up outside the door and you got to wait until some people leave before you could go in? I didn't like those parts of it. But we did a lot of puzzles over that period of time. Yeah. And but the Lord has delivered us out of that. And we talked about Christ coming, our past. 2024 years ago, we talked about one of the crises that came along in our day. Now, I want to talk about what Christ wants to accomplish. I want to talk a little bit about the future. Amen. And so we have the past and the present and the future. Amen. And let's see, where do I want to start? I want to start with saying, you know, the church needs a move of God. It really does. And only God can accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Jesus said, I will build my church. Only Christ can build his church and make it what he wants it to be. And as I see in the scripture, what God wants the church to become, only he can do that. Hallelujah. But before Christ can come the way he wants to, he needs a body. He needs a body to come to. And we're thankful this morning. Hallelujah. And I hear the shouts and of joy. Praise God. And the presence of God is here with us. And we meet on Sundays and Wednesdays with the Lord, and the Lord meets with us. It's an awesome thing. And But I just want to say the Lord has to give us higher ground as the church. He has to lift us up into a higher ground, and to a higher ground that's higher than the veil of the flesh. Because, you know, I'll just talk about me, okay? When I get emotional, my emotions can take me and thrash me around, psh, 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 and abuse me. And I'm no different than you are. I'm human. And so sometimes I get caught up in those emotions and feelings. I got caught up in them last week a little bit when my son texted me and said, I'm in the hospital. And, you know, I was burdened. I had an ache in my soul. And as I begin to pray, this ache and that I couldn't get away from, hallelujah, I phoned him up. He told me why he was in the hospital. And I said, I'm going to be praying for you, son, that you get out of there. And he phoned me back in an hour and said, oh, my blood work all came back positive. And if I can eat my supper tonight and my breakfast in the morning, I'll be going home. And I said, well, praise the Lord. Praise God. God answers prayer. He hears our burdens. I'm glad we're not alone. But anyway, that's not what I wanted to say. And God wants to lift this up on higher ground so that I see Jesus. And I don't see the army that's surrounding the city. I see that those that are for us are greater than those that are against us. And so there's a wonderful verse in Mark 4:24. And I think it says something like, take heed what you hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it'll be measured back to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, I want to say this, that we come to church on Sunday, and the Lord lets down light to us. He gives us light. Amen. And he doesn't always speak the same thing to everybody. He might give light different, speak to you about something different than he's speaking to someone else, but he lets light down to us. And light, if you can live by it today, and we're going to walk in that light, and it's going to increase. That's what happened to in the parable of the talents, when the Lord gave each one a measure of himself, really. And as they walked in the light that God gave them, those talents increased. Amen. Except for the fellow that didn't walk in the light, it decreased. It was taken from him. So if we receive light and we walk in it, it increases. If we ignore it, we don't receive any more light until we walk in the light that God has already given us. Amen. That's how it works. So, to whom much is given, much is required. But take heed what you hear. Pay attention to the light that comes. And, you know, I've preached sometimes, not often, but Academy Award-winning sermons. And then I hear Howard on the way out says, how many heard, Pastor? And I have to leave that with the Lord. But those who hear, hallelujah, are going to reap the benefits. And so anyway, I'm here to talk about Jesus' birth. This baby wrapped in a manger was a fulfillment to the calling of Israel, because Israel's calling was to bring forth the Messiah. Israel's calling was to bring forth Christ in the flesh. But the calling on the church is not the same. Amen. The calling on the church, we can read about it in Ephesians 2:22. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so God has his coming in the flesh was in preparation for his coming in the Spirit. Amen. And we live in the time zone of the Holy Ghost. We live I don't want to use time zone, but that's all I got right now. And dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to make us a habitation or a dwelling place of God and the Spirit. And so have you ever gone to the doctor and doctor says, oh, I got to send you to a specialist. Amen. More delays. Amen. So the doctor sends you to a specialist. And there seems to be a specialist for every little thing. And if you got a sore throat, they send you to the specialist over there. If you got a sore foot, they send you over there. And so there's a specialist that seems like for everything. And, you know, the Lord has raised up specialists in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And I want to read about those specialists. And we can find them in Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Verse 11. Hallelujah. Then he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so here's some specialists that the Lord has placed in his body, and it's to do a work. Hallelujah. That's far, far past the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, and it was for... Well, it was for the work of the body. Hallelujah. It was to prepare a body. And the body was being prepared, and like we already read in 2:22, to become a habitation or a dwelling place for God and the Spirit. And these specialists had come to help prepare the body, help prepare the body for the fullness of Christ that would come. And this was the reason for the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger in our past, was to bring the church to this place in the present, because there's still a future work that needs to be done. And now I want to read verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. Can you hear that? We've read it a million times. Say what? Are you kidding, Lord? You want to bring us to the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Amen. Is that possible? It must be. He wrote about it. Christ wants to come. And he needs a body to come into. And he wants to bring us. This is the perfecting work of the Holy Ghost, to bring us to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To bring us to a fullness that...